praises from this past week. So who would like to start us off with a praise or prayer request? Yes. Okay. Okay, wow. That's cool. All right. Okay. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, we'll be praying for Becky. Glad you're able to be here today, but we'll be praying for C-section been moved up to May 16th. So, okay, so that's next week. Wow, put it like that. That's pretty pretty soon. So pray for God's hand and a blessing and protection there. So, all right, anyone else? Yes. Okay, all right. Wow. That sounds very significant. So praying for former pastor's wife there, for Ashley, had brain surgery and is recovering. So we'll pray for that. All right. Anyone else? We'll ask. Yes, Angela? Okay, all right. And we'll pray for Abigail with dealing with some allergies there. Lord willing that she'll clear up soon. All right, I've request prayer for us as a family that we're going to be traveling out to the Carolinas and got a lot of people to see and a lot of family in that area, North Carolina, South Carolina area. So we'll be on the warpath from one place to the next, and but we'll miss being here on Mother's Day, and Elizabeth hasn't seen her mother on Mother's Day in over 20 years, so that'll be nice for her to be able to do that, and so on, but appreciate your prayers for us. So, yes, Angela? Okay. All right, yes. We'll continue to pray for the Moors, that they have safety. It sounds like it's there and back again. Short trip, so Sunday through Tuesday. So keep them in your prayers as well. Okay, anyone else to add to these? Yes?
Continue to pray for Dee. She still wants to come to church. She'll see her orthopedist Tuesday. And if everyone would just pray that this would take care of her pain that she's having on her whole left side, then okay, they'll have the solution as to how many breaks and how bad they are.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for keeping us posted on that. We're praying for Dee, praying for her salvation. She's going to go see the orthopedist and pray that they'll have some solution.
She thanks all of you for
Oh, amen. Good. It's neat. We haven't met her, and yet we already have a testimony toward her, so that's good. So let's continue to pray for her. So when she comes, she's planning on coming, and the Lord opens the door for her, so we'll be able to receive her with Christ's love. So, all right. Anyone else? Yes, Elsa?
I just want to thank God for his blessings. And it's so funny. You know, Isabel, of course, she's planning to move away, so she has kind of this urge to do a little bit more family time together. So we were yesterday at Kansas City's really just having a good old time.
Oh.
Light of Carol and song.
Amen.
God is good.
Okay. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right. Elsa just praised the Lord for God's blessings. So that's good. Family, what a blessing God's placed us in. Yes, Becky? Okay. All right. Very good. So we'll pray for Becky's parents as they travel from Colorado. to be here next week for the birth, so that'd be good. It'd be a big blessing, big help. So, continue to pray for Jimmy. He's back in Fort Scott at Guest Home Estates there, but he's been in a lot of pain and been trying to try to regulate that from his back surgery. And so let's keep him in prayer and pray for God to use all this for his salvation. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, okay.
But he is paralyzed, so there's a lot of maneuvers there.
Okay, wow. Okay, so Sierra's cousin that was paralyzed was able to come home, but adjusting to new life, new reality. So prayer there. So. Yes, sir, Mr. Madden.
A young man in jail that I talked to Tuesday, just pray for his salvation. He's very open to listening. Anyway, pray for the man in his pod that they would share with him this week. So I'm curious to see how the Lord's moving in that. I don't know his name, but he's from Douglas County. Probably won't be here for you.
Okay, yeah.
So then we're traveling Thursday through Tuesday. Andy graduates this weekend.
Amen. All right, we'll pray for you guys as you travel, and yes, do continue to pray for the jail ministry. And yeah, there are several. And there wasn't, I can't be the same one, but it was another guy from Douglas County, and he was in, let's see here, I think it was D-Pod, I think. So anyway, but so either that or E, one of the two. He wasn't an F, and so got a chance to give the gospel to him, and so it was kind of tough because he seemed like he clearly didn't understand the gospel, and then he would kind of seem like he was understanding it, and then he would revert back to his old thinking. And so I was able to present the gospel pretty thoroughly, but we only have a little bit of time, and pray for God to really, I guess I would ask, if as you pray, that God, we have a testimony in the jail, but also in the court system, and to multiple people, to corrections officers, to a lot. There's an aspect that we're working with these people, and I'm just praying that the power of the gospel would be demonstrated so that they would see this God is real. He does make changes. He makes a difference in their lives. And so be in prayer for God's name to be glorified. So, yes, sir.
With this judge. It's like he took the heart of this judge and put it in the favor of this person that was served almost 3 years in prison. And it was awesome to see God at work. That's one of the praise God. Because what happened, he did.
Amen. He did. So very good. So it's neat to have that testimony. Yes, Ernie? Oh, good. Okay.
Very cool.
Very cool. Okay. No. All right. Let's pray for Doug and Shelley as they travel back, and they'll come back with an empty suitcase. So so it'll be good. So got some Bibles he wants to get out. So be good. Yes, Joyce.
Amazed. Michael and I and Noel and Jennifer have had two different prayer requests. Mine was very specific. We needed a vehicle, and the Lord convicted me just to wait. Don't push it. Don't. Just wait. But I told him that I would like either, this is just optional, Lord. I would like either silver or candy apple red, and leather seats, and a sedan, and not a back windshield thing. And I was driving to town, and there sat one with a for sale sign, and it was one that I could afford. And he's guaranteed 10,000 miles on the transmission. He has 4 tires for me. Couldn't ask for our boys. I shared that with them in Kansas City, and they said, I didn't know you could pray so specifically.
Amen.
It's been a blessing to me, and I thank them.
Yes, amen.
And then Noel and Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Their truck got wrecked. That left 6 people with 5 jobs and 1 vehicle. And a friend said, well, you know, a friend of my husband's offered us a pickup, but we don't really need it. Would you be able to use it? They were without a truck for 1 day.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway,
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Amen. What a testimony. God answering specific prayer. And I forgot the man's name, young man in college, but he challenged me. He said, you need to pray specific prayers so that when God answers, you'll know it was God. And so that was really, really good. I don't know if I've stuck to that as much as I should, but it's a good testimony to it. Oh. Let's pray specifically and see God answer. It's good.
So, Pastor, the way you were just saying it, it was not so much for us getting what we specifically want, but to know that it's God.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it gets a testimony. God wants to answer our prayer. And if we're real general and say, God, just bless everybody, well, how much do you wake up and say, thank you for answering my prayer, Lord? He did answer that prayer, but just an aspect of looking, it kind of changes your focus. If you're praying for something very specifically, then your eyes are looking to see God answer that in a special way. But it challenges your faith, because you will pray for some things, and God will, you'll wait, and it's a good thing. God's doing a good work in us, even when he causes us to wait for answered prayer.
It makes me grateful every time I drive it.
Amen, yeah.
Again. It
just becomes your mode of transportation is a pointer to God in your heart. So, amen. Amen. That is a wonderful testimony. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Anyone else? Oh, yes, Charlotte.
Praise the Lord again for his graciousness to me, that my children live where they need him.
Okay.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother-in-law was just diagnosed with cancer in the brain.
Oh.
He was losing his memory and searching for that reason.
Oh.
But
okay. Okay. Good.
He's younger than I am.
Good. All right. We'll pray for Charlotte's brother-in-law who just found cancer.
Philip.
Okay. But he knows the Lord, so yes. Praise the Lord. That just makes... That takes away all the teeth out of any difficulty. So, amen. So, all right. Yes, Ashley?
Also, please be praying for the John family. Amanda John, my friend, she came here to Eastern Colorado a couple years ago. I don't believe that they're probably believers. They're all Mormon. Their grandma and mother passed away from dementia.
Okay. All right, so we got a family passing in a Mormon family. We'll pray for the John's family. God will use this for salvation. So, what a sad thing to slip off into eternity. And may God motivate us to speak up and to share the gospel. Continue to pray for the KRI. I think we had gone through a spell of absolutely real indecision, and now we've had 2 weeks in a row. We came, and they came, and we had some kids. It hasn't been the whole... I don't think we've still done it. We sat down in their office and said, this is how we're going to do it. I don't think we've done it that way one time yet, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's a little chaotic, but I think there's an aspect of continuing to pray for that ministry and just opportunity to give the gospel to the children so that they understand who Jesus Christ is and the significance of what he came to do. And so it really is exciting to see their openness. And, there's probably about, we had 10 girls and 6 boys. So we had 16 kids that heard the gospel. And so prayed for the Lord to do a work there. Okay, anyone else? Yes, sir, Ryan. Okay, all right, so that's coming up pretty soon here, so let's pray for Ryan. It's May 19th, got to be on the road, so the Lord will bless not only safety, but in purpose, and accomplish the goal, so that'd be good. All right, anyone else? All right, if not, we'll go ahead and we'll do this. We'll read in Romans chapter 16, but we'll go ahead and start at verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. So, Romans 16, beginning in verse 17, and read to the end of the book. Anybody need a little bit more time? Okay, just to kind of drop parachuting back into our text here where we're at. We are dealing with, in the context of all these salutations, and you can see that there is lots of salutations before this in verse 17, and there are salutations after it. And so there is a context of brotherly unity and something wonderful that God does in a bond that we have in Jesus Christ. And yet we find in verse 17 this strong warning that you've read. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And so we need to, there's an element that we have to understand, and where we left off last time is that we don't get a choice in how to respond. God has already determined, he said, when you find this, if this person fits this criteria, then you must mark them and you must avoid them. All right? And that's not contrary to the spirit of love and the spirit of brotherly embrace that is found in these other parts of the verses. And so a lot of times when what we're talking about today is the doctrine of separation. And the doctrine of separation is much maligned because it just sounds kind of mean and nasty. And it doesn't sound very nice and very loving. And yet it is loving. To stomp on the head of a snake is not unloving. It is loving to your children. And so there's an element of what God wants for you. So I want us to kind of hear, this is not just an isolated, but this is a theme through Scripture. And it's ultimately we have to take all of Scripture, put it together, and try to discern exactly how God wants us to live. So in terms of this is nothing new, Paul's admonition here, it goes all the way back to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 7:15, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He said, watch out, they're going to have the mantle of a prophet. They're coming in. And they said, I've got a word from God to you. And they are a false prophet. And they're going to look like a sheep. If you talked about, if they stood up here, would they be, I'm so mean and nasty. And man, you could just tell by their face and how they grunt and how their eyes bulge out. You can say, I can spot that false teacher. He's a wolf. No. He's going to speak with soft tones. He's going to have fair speeches and good sounding words. He's probably going to use the word gospel. He's probably going to talk about Jesus. It's going to sound good. They're going to be false prophets, he says, but they are inwardly, they are ravening wolves. So that's a pretty powerful, and so what is our admonition there? Beware. Be on the lookout. Don't let your antenna go down. Keep, and that's why there's an aspect of, Paul commended the Berean Christians to be studying the Scriptures. They weren't just listening to it because it was the Apostle Paul talking to them. And you ought to be real careful. It doesn't matter how long I've been pastor here. You ought to study the Scriptures. Because it doesn't take but one wrong sermon, right? Get off in terms of, you make sure that what's coming from this pulpit is coming from this book, all right? You have the absolute legitimacy and the right to examine everything that's taught according to the Scriptures. Acts 20:29, the Apostle Paul in the early church, as he left Ephesus, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing," he doesn't say maybe, he says, "shall gravest wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So there's going to be those that are wolves. They're not going to look like wolves, just like Jesus said, but they will not spare the flock. There will be damage. There will be hurt. And that's why we have to understand, if we'll understand what false teaching does, that it hurts the flock of God, that people are going to be deceived. Deception has consequences. It will make us realize how vigilant we need to be for the truth. He says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise." People right here, within this group, people are going to rise up. He says, speaking perverse things, twisted things. Speaking about the truth, but they're going to twist it and draw away disciples after them. Hey, follow me. Follow what I'm teaching you. He says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Apostle Paul said, I want to prepare you. I know it's coming. I can't. His heart was broken over it. But he said, I want you to be warned. So what's the admonition? Watch. Okay, first one, beware. Second one, watch. All right, 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is a partaker of his evil deed. He said, we're talking very specifically here. He says, now the command, just look to yourself. Be on guard. And you're seeing a pattern here of what he wants you to be vigilant. And in this specifically is talking about the doctrine of Christ in the aspect of his divinity and his humanity. If anyone denies the deity of Christ, anyone denies the humanity. And which one of the very first heresy that went through the early church, which one do you think would be the one that would be denied? They denied his humanity. They were so convinced of his deity that this idea of docetism came in terms of teaching that, well, he just appeared like a man. And they wanted to cut off the connection of Jesus Christ from us. And in an endeavor to exalt him, he is God. How dare you soil deity with humanity? But this is what the Bible says. This is God's plan. He says, I don't care what they sound like. I don't care how pious their words are. If they come to you and they don't teach the truth about Jesus Christ, are they saved? I guess you don't have it in front of you. I'm looking at it. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not, does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. They are not saved. You deny who Jesus Christ is. A Jehovah's Witness is not saved. A Mormon is not saved. Anyone who pulls down who Jesus Christ is. If you do not believe Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man, if you believe that there's someone else who is a co-mediator, a co-redemptress, you're not saved. You are attacking the doctrine of Christ. And he says, do not receive them into your house. Now, in terms of hospitality in that culture, there was a lot of pressure, probably more so in our day. In fact, it's pretty common for someone to knock on the door and you never invite them in. What's your business? You know, all right, thank you, type thing. But for them, the hospitality was a big deal. That was part of their culture. And he says, I'm sorry. You can't come in here. I don't know exactly what bidding God speed is, but there's aspect of you do not wish them well on their journey. I think in that aspect, I wonder. There's been an aspect of how many times I've had more Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door and have a good. I don't know if I violated that or not. Hopefully not in the spirit of it. Probably the Holy Spirit was right there saying But you say, even the smallest act of kindness to them, it's kindness, it's love. You are a partaker for the love of the truth and for the love of those that error would damage. You must take a solid, that doesn't have to be belligerent, doesn't have to be mean, doesn't have to be ugly. But there's an aspect that says you must indicate to them very clearly that you do not support what they're doing and what they're teaching. Very powerful teaching. First John 1:8-11. Good. Okay, Second John. I'm sorry. Yeah, Second John. Thank you. Yep. That's an interesting question. I think there's an element of, I think it's clear what the meaning of this is. You can't do anything that endorses them. But I think there's an aspect of, I think you can That, to me, is a little different because it's just in terms on the commerce, you're passing someone, and you can have an opportunity to, you can show love to them. I mean, if it's got Jehovah's Witness on the... You would look at it as an opportunity to confront them lovingly with the gospel, not in terms of your, presenting the truth as confrontational. I think that's what I mean by that word, but I think that's a good question, good thought. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he said, man, I was so excited. I was going to write you a wonderful letter about how God saved you. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He emphasizes this aspect of delivering, has the idea of that you are in a succession of God has given the truth and you're a part of passing that baton. And it only comes how many times? It's only been delivered once. And that puts a high premium on the fact that you don't mess this up. Don't let the banner of truth of who Jesus Christ is and what His gospel means be sunk down in your generation, in your day. He says you've got to contend. You've got to battle for this. There's an aspect that we can look back and say, oh, there was lots of battles in the past, and our forefathers, they really battled for the truth. But if we're going to do what God wants us to do, I think there's going to be some battles today. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to stand up for and stand against. What is he talking about? In verse 4, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." When they were in amongst us, but we didn't realize what was going on. "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So part of this is, I think this is very powerful. It is on one level, it is teaching that propositionally goes against our doctrinal statement in terms of this element of these are what the Bible says, and someone's coming in trying to tear down what the Scripture says on one side. Over here, what he's talking about, these men are coming in, and they're actually talking about God's grace, but they're saying because of God's grace, it means you can go ahead and do all those things that you really wanted to do in the flesh. The works of the flesh are now wide open for a believer to participate in. And there's not that distinction there. And they turn God's grace into lasciviousness. There's just an openness about God's grace and forgiveness that encourages people to continue in sin. And he says this is a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has a content of truth that we can say, this is who Jesus is, this is what He came to do, this is how He saves you, and this is what a life looks like when He saves you. And if somebody comes along and says, I'm going to attack this point, and I'm going to affirm who Jesus is and what He came to do and how He saves you, but when the sanctification aspect of life, what a holy life looks like, and they're going to tear down, and it's not going to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ and His teaching and His doctrine, that is a denial. So every aspect along this chain, we've got to examine it and make sure that we ourselves are proclaiming the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Part of the aspect is, how does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, you'll recognize the fruit. You'll recognize the false prophet by their fruit. do that all the time. Got a word in my mind. I can't but say it and let it pop out. Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to let this go, but I can't move on from the hypothetical that was mentioned.
Yes.
In verse 17, it says we're supposed to mark them, uh-huh, know their JWs, and then avoid them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought, because I do want to be very careful to I think there's an element that we're going to look at. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's. Yeah, that in that aspect of things. So I think there's an element of, and every, I'm trying to think, just measure my words so I can say it the right way. You know, every passage has some level of context to it. And I think in the aspect of this context, it's clearly, you know, false teaching, that there's something that's causing against the doctrine. And so within the confines of what they're doing, I think that's the area of which you would avoid them. So if they were speaking, say if you knew of a false teacher or somebody, say, I think this person right here, they're going to talk about the Lord, but I know that they're going to bring in something over here and say, oh, they're speaking down here downtown. I said, I'm going to avoid them. I'm just not going to participate. Maybe there's some other good speakers there, but this one person's there. I'm not going to participate. I won't be involved in that. I think there's an element of, I'm thinking of, he's going to give some instruction to us in regards to disobedient believers. And we're going to look at that. And he says, if this applied to the world, then you'd have to go out of the world, type of thing. And so there, you know, I know that I'm thinking of that verse, but I know it doesn't exactly apply. I think I'll say it this way. If you avoided them because they were JWs in the spirit of this verse, I think you'd be honoring the Lord because you're trying to follow the scripture. In that sense. But I think someone can. I really do believe you could stop and show them love if it's. But it would be, it's something you have to really understand. Okay, this is a context of I am not supporting. If it was, you know, it makes a difference. You know, sometimes we knock on someone's door and we realize, okay, man, there's a Mormon in our neighborhood. You know, there's someone here over in Uniontown. This is what they believe, these false teaching. Doesn't mean that I can never go to their house again. I can't ever interact with them as a neighbor. But you know, you just have to be very careful in terms of I don't want to do anything that kind of gives some credence, some support to what they believe and teach, even to them. And so I think it's not easy, but I think you have to be very careful. So I appreciate you bringing that up. I want you to do that. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good illustration. So, yeah, and I appreciate, you know, an aspect of anything that takes the text very literal. I don't try to dismiss that in any way, and so that's a good thought. So, all right, very good. Let's see here. Second Peter, talking about following in their pernicious ways, and he says. So again, you've got false teaching, but it leads to a certain way of life that is false. And he said, he actually goes through 2 Peter, the whole chapter 2 is all dealing with this. And I wasn't going to read the whole thing to us, but just you see that their motives are wrong. He says, through covetousness shall they with feigned, this is pretense words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. There are going to be people who are in it for the money. Have we ever seen something like that? Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. The year that my dad came out to plant a church in Wichita, Kansas, I think 1986, was the year that the Baker scandal went across. Oh, there's Baptists right there. You're like, you can find people that are in it for the money. Sometimes it comes out later. They may stand up in a suit. They may have some big ministry. But God says all false teachers do not have good. I mean, there's not a false teacher out there that has sincere motives. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look through these scriptures one more time when we come to that point here in Romans. There's just none of them out there. And we might want to give them benefit of the doubt. You can't. The scripture says this. You say, I don't know their motives, but God says if they will see the truth and refuse to listen to the truth, their motives are wrong. And so it's very, very powerful. All right. That should probably be the last one. Yeah, okay. I'll stop. Whew, man, this is getting... We still got... That's one page. Two. Yeah. Three. Four. Okay. I don't know how we're going to get done by June. I don't know. I have to talk to Kenny about this. Okay. All right. Hold on to that thought for a minute. We may have to... we'll see what happens. We want to get through some of this. I don't want it to be a lengthy, lengthy thing. But I want us to feel the weight of these scriptures. Because... The doctrine of separation is many times a hard doctrine to really embrace and to hold on to and feel like it really is the loving thing to do. But you just have to believe. You have to step out on the faith of Scripture and just do what God's Word says and do it with the Spirit of Christ and enabling you and emboldening you to be a witness for His truth. So, all right, you're dismissed. Appreciate your faithfulness.